Hello, Word listeners. This year marks the 25th anniversary of the installation of Dr. William R. Glaze as pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Homewood. You, our faithful listeners, are invited to attend the celebration dinner at the Doubletree Hotel in Monroeville on Friday, June 26th at 7 p.m. For details on how you can make a reservation for this well-deserved celebration, call 412-242-3255. Again, that's 412-242-3255.
So you got your mind. You got to have your mind right. And you are what you think. And when we think about even God, everything that exists, now realize this, everything that exists existed first in the mind of God, in his mind. And so God just in his mind, and this I can't describe it because I can't even say that. This is deep. I can't even say that all of a sudden God thought.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on personal discipline with part one of Personal Discipline, the Mind. So please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, as we join Dr. Glaze for part one of Personal Discipline, the Mind.
You become what you think. Whatever you think, that is what you become. The scripture is very clear on this in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And this is a verse that all of us have quoted at some point in time, or at least have read at some point in time. But it says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a person thinks in their heart, that's the way they are. You have to realize that you are an accumulation of your thoughts. Whatever your thoughts have been, pretty much has brought you to the place where you are today. Somebody said that we have 60,000 thoughts every day. 60,000 thoughts every day. I wonder how many thoughts you had just as we sang that last song. You may have thought about how good the Lord is, how marvelous he is. You know, when they sang that song, that he saved me from drowning, and, you know, I thought about when I got saved, and I thought about how I was just out in the world and away from God, and I was drowning, as the choir sang, I was drowning in a sea of sin. And God reached down in his love, and he lifted me out of that. And so as they were singing, I had about five thoughts just as they were singing. I was thinking about the church here over in Turtle Creek that I got saved at, where I went and gave my heart to the Lord. I thought about how, you know, the sin and how I was sinking in sin. I thought about the marvelous deliverance that God had brought forth in my life. I thought about how he had taken me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock to stay. There was just during that song, I probably had about 5 to 10 thoughts. And so we see that during the day, our lives and where we go is an accumulation of our thoughts. And so as a person thinks, so are they. So if you think a bunch of negative thoughts, then guess what? You pretty much are going to be a negative person. Sometimes we just need to get our mind right. Our mind is not right. And when our mind is not right, we don't do what we're supposed to do. I remember, I think it was last year, I was working out with my trainer, Brother Reggie, back there. And I was telling him, I said, "Man, I got my mind right. I got my mind right. And I'm going to do this thing." And I said, you remember that movie, Rocky? The Eye of the Tiger? I said, man, I got the Eye of the Tiger. I said, I got it. I said, man, I got the Eye of the Tiger. I'm going to do this thing. And so we started, and I missed a couple workouts. And I sent him my food journal, and I wasn't eating right. And he texted me back and said, looks like you got the eye of a kitten. So you got your mind, you got to have your mind right. And you are what you think. And when we think about even God, everything that exists, now realize this, everything that exists existed first in the mind of God, in his mind. And so God just in his mind, and this I can't describe it because I can't even say that, this is deep. I can't even say that all of a sudden God thought of something. But it's always been in his mind. And then he just unfolds it as time goes on. And so we see even with God, the power of the mind. There were some self-portrait statements that I had to share with you. Do we have the screen working yet? Okay. If we could go to those self-portrait statements. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, if I lose confidence in myself, I have the universe against me. That if you don't believe in yourself, then you are doomed from the very beginning. There's a preacher, Mike Murdoch, he does a lot of writing from the book of Proverbs. I don't agree with everything he says, but a couple things, he hits it right on the head. He says, when God wants to change your life, he will change the way you see you. When Satan wants to destroy you, he will destroy the way you see yourself. The mind. He also says, every one has a wise man and a fool inside of them. The one you talk to is the one that will react. If you spend more time talking to the fool inside of you, then that's the way you're going to act. But there's that wise person. I guess it goes back to, I know this is the cartoons, but, you know, the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other shoulder. But, you know, there's some truth in that. And whatever one that we're listening to is the one that's going to shape our lives. The person we believe ourselves to be will always act in a manner consistent with our self-image. Who do you believe that you are? You know, there was a show that I used to watch when I was growing up. Some of you probably remember it. Young people might not remember it. But the name of the show was called Hee Haw. And there was a guy on the show that he was always crying the blues. And he had a song. Every week he would come on and he would sing a song. And it said, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's the way he thought. And so guess what he attracted? That's what he attracted was gloom, despair, and agony. Why? Because that's the way that he thought. There was another, I'm being nostalgic this morning, right? I think it was the Flintstones. I'm not sure. But I think there was a guy, I think it was the Flintstones. Somebody could help me. I know there's some cartoon buffs around here. But there was a guy on there named Sleprock. Anybody remember him? All right, say, yeah. We get some witnesses up in here this morning, right? And everywhere that Sleprock went, what was over his head? A dark cloud and rain. I mean, he could be out in the park or wherever. As he walked along, there was a dark cloud and rain was coming down on him. Why? Because that's the mindset that he had. And he just became what his mind was. And so we need to realize that God has made us, if we'll go on to that next slide, that we need to talk to ourselves. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We need to self-talk. I am a priest. That's what God said. Two times. I am a king. I am a child of God. I am a saint. I am an overcomer. This should be our mindset. I was thinking that if you got up every morning for 30 days and you said this, how our lives would begin to change. Because our thinking would change. When I think about the fact that, hey, you know what? I'm a king. Now, I don't rule over a country with people in it, but you know what? I am the king of my domain. And I'm not saying that from an egotistical or pride manner. I'm just saying that you got to have that. I'm the one that if God is in my life, that he says that I'm a king, that I'm a priest, and I can do the things that kings and priests do in my life, that I am a child of God. You know, some people get excited when people on these rap albums, they call ladies, females, by derogatory names, and people get excited about that and jump up and down and clap. And nobody gets excited when we think about God has called you his sons and daughters. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. That I am a child of God. I am a saint. Now, I've said this before. The people in the book in the church of Corinth were a rough bunch. Paul had to get on them. There was all kind of mess going on in Corinth. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul said, saints. Why? Because they have been set apart for God. That I'm a saint. Somebody got on me one time that you shouldn't call people saints. And we're not saints. I said, well, you got a problem with the Apostle Paul. Because in just about every letter that he wrote, he addressed the recipients as what? As saints. So we need to understand the word saint. The word saint means set apart unto God. And that you are a saint. You need to tell yourself this. That needs to be your mindset. That you are an overcomer. Look at Romans 8 and verse 37. You are an overcomer. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The root of that word conquer is Nike, where we get the sporting gear, Nike. Paul says that, and it means victory. It means victor. Paul says here that you are not just a victor. Oh, hallelujah. He says, you are more than a victor, that you are an overcomer. And if we can just begin to walk in, and again, I'm not trying to teach any humanistic principles. This is the word of God. And if God's people would just walk in the way that God, what the things that God has said about them, man, our lives would be so much better. That if I get up every morning, and I look in the mirror and I say, I am a priest. I am a king. I am a child of God. I am a saint. I am an overcomer. And we start to believe that. And not, as I said, no, not get a big head about it, but have a spirit of humility about it. To have a spirit of meekness about it. That Jesus, the Bible says that he was meek. What's that word meek mean? You heard me define that word on many occasions. It means power under control. That Jesus could have called angels to wipe out his enemies, but he held that power. He kept it under control. And if I realize who God has called me, if I realize who I am in Christ, that there should be some meekness about it. and I walk in humility. As I think about something that I remember back in the 70s, Jesse Jackson, he wrote a poem, and it's called I Am Somebody. And the reason that he wrote it is because a lot of the black children were suffering from low self-esteem because of segregation, discrimination, you know, that type of thing. And so he wrote this poem, and he was trying to get every young black person to quote this poem. And it says, I am somebody. I may be poor, but I am somebody. I may be young, but I am somebody. I may be on welfare, but I am somebody. I may be small, but I am somebody. I may make a mistake, but I am somebody. My clothes are different. My face is different. My hair is different, but I am somebody. I may speak a different language, but I must be respected, protected, and never rejected. I am a child of God. I am somebody. Why was he trying to get them to say that? He was trying to get them to say it because, you know, again now, he wasn't even working, you know, with some of these kids. They weren't saved. So he wasn't really working with the Holy Spirit. He was just trying to get them to affirm in themselves who they were. So what I'm saying is, if that was working in the natural, if that was working in the natural world, how much more we who have the Holy Spirit, that when we begin to think as God calls us and we realize who we are in Christ, that our mind begins to change and we begin to think differently because we are somebody in Jesus Christ. If we are going to have a changed mind, we need to have a biblical mind. Now, it's scary sometimes because preachers and teachers point out these truths, and we kind of let them roll off of our backs and really don't absorb them. But when we look at the Word of God, it ought to grip our hearts. And God has called us to have a biblical mind. What is a biblical mind? A biblical mind is a devoted mind, a delivered mind, a disciplined mind, and a dominated mind. Let's look first at a devoted mind. That if you're going to have a biblical mind, which is the only mind that a child of God should have, a biblical mind in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That our minds ought to be devoted to the Lord. Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That every day you ought to present your mind to God and let it be a mind that's devoted to God. It's a mind that's devoted to loving God. Some people get up in the morning and their mind is everywhere but devoted to God. That when you get up from the rising of the sun to the going down, you may make mistakes, you may do some things wrong, but Lord, my mind has been devoted to you. Songwriter said, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my Lord, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. That, Lord, my heart, my mind is devoted to you. Lord, it's devoted to think your thoughts. Lord, it's devoted to be in tune with you. Now, is it going to be in tune with God 24/7? No. I'm telling you right now, no. Because all kind of, you know, that's the devil's job. The devil's job is to come and to get you focused on something else, to take your mind off of God. Now, you can be working a job and still have your mind devoted to God. And even though your thoughts might not be on scripture and it might not be on prayer, you know, that you might be doing your job, whatever that entails, but your mind is still devoted there. You put your mind on the altar. Jesus was very plain. He said that you got to love God with what? Your mind. You got to love God with your mind. So let's just stop and do a check. And let's ask ourselves today, is your mind devoted to God? Now, you may have to, as I said earlier, you may have to remember things for your job. You may have to have in your mind things that you do in the community or whatever. But is your mind devoted to God? Do you say, Lord, my mind belongs to you? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Be honest. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, my mind belongs to you. You know, God wants us to sanctify. He says, sanctify your bodies, right? And even your mind. A delivered mind. A delivered mind. And we see that God has taken us, and we started quoting that. Well, let's turn and look at that scripture in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We started quoting that one. Let's go there. Romans chapter 12, a delivered mind. Oh, hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A renewed mind. And notice the contrast here. Be not conformed to the world. All of us didn't grow up in the church. I know before I got saved, and you, where did your mind conform? What did your mind conform to? It conformed to the world. I mean, that's the bottom line. It conformed to the world. Whatever the world said, you know, you went along with it. You evaluated the world's ideas. You implemented what the world said into your lifestyle. Your mind was conformed to the world. But now, you've been delivered. Your mind has been delivered. Do you realize that? That now, you know, I've said this before. Where do people that don't know the Lord go when they get in trouble? They are just left alone to their thoughts, their worldly thoughts. Just thinking about how to handle this thing in the world. How do I deal with it in the world? No outside help. No outside deliverance. Just me and my thoughts. Me and my worldly thoughts. The scripture says that as a Christian, that your mind has been delivered. And that no longer are you to conform to the worldly mindset, but you are to be transformed in your mind.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Personal Discipline, the Mind. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Personal Discipline, the Mind, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request personal discipline, the mind. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request personal discipline, the mind. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.